Friends, I want you to imagine with me for a moment that first Easter morning when Mary and Peter and John went to the tomb. The women went first to the tomb, and they were going to do what they could for the one whom they loved, but they were downcast as they walked towards the tomb. Their eyes were cast down, and they were thinking to themselves as they walked to the tomb. The Gospels relate, the different Gospel stories of the resurrection account tell us that as they walked to the tomb, they were wondering and thinking amongst themselves, who will roll away the stone for us? Who will open this place so that we can go and do what we can for the one whom we love? They're downcast and they're sad, and reasonably so, for they've just seen Jesus, whom they love, tortured and crucified 2 days previously. And just at the point of dawn, we're told, they arrive at the tomb and they look up. They look up and see that the stone has been rolled away. Mary of Magdala is probably the first to know it. The tomb is open. The guards who had been set are no longer present. Just imagine that moment. What must have gone through their heads when they saw that. And as they then peer into the tomb and then go into the tomb, as they enter that place of death and sorrow where Jesus was laid, but 36 hours previously, an angel greets them with the words, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one. He has been raised. He is not here." And then that angel invites them by saying, invites them to look, saying, "Behold the place where they laid him." Can you imagine the reaction of those women at that moment? You know, we've heard this story over and over again. You know, and it's probably gotten kind of like, okay, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. But friends, for those women, that must have been an experience nothing like they'd ever had before in their lives. In fact, it's an experience that no one had ever had in their life. Death is final to this point. Up until this point in human history, death is final. There's simply not a comparable situation in the history of the world, much less in the life of these women. And they must have been asking the question, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? If that was the place where he was laid, where is he now? The angel goes on to tell them, to tell Peter and the other disciples that Jesus is going before them to Galilee and that they will see him. It seems probable then that that's the moment when, as is accounted in this gospel that we read this morning, that the women run back and they tell Peter and John and the other disciples who are locked in the upper room for fear of the Jews, and they come running to the tomb as well. Note in the gospel how real and vivid this passage is, right? Like John, who's the beloved disciple, the other disciple here, he even makes a joke. He says, "I got there first because Peter was old," right? Right? That's, I mean, it's kind of a mean joke, but it's in the gospel, so it's okay, right? And they see it empty. They see the empty tomb. And they must have also wondered, where's Jesus? What's he doing? Why is this important? You know, friends, in basically the entire Bible, there's one, there's something that just it sticks out so clearly over and over again. If you read the Bible, if you read the story of salvation, it's that God always acts first. Let's go back to the very first chapters of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless wasteland, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And it was good. And so on through all the days of creation. God is the one who's acting. He's creating the trees and the plants and the earth and the sky and the giraffes. Right? The giraffes and the sea monsters and the elephants and all of those strange creatures. I mean, think of that, right? Like, who would have thought of a giraffe except for God? And then at the pinnacle of creation, he creates human beings. Friends, we didn't create ourselves. God acts first. And then after we sinned, who acts first? God does. God comes and finds Adam and Eve, and he says, "Where are you? Why have you gone away? Where are you? Come back to me." And then so also in the story of Noah, God saves Noah and his family by taking action. In the story of Abraham and Isaac, God intervenes. He takes action. Takes initiative to save Isaac. And in the exodus of Moses, or the exodus from Egypt led by Moses, God delivers his people and he chooses David and he sends the prophets to call his people back to him. God always acts first. So also it is with Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh, God acted first. He didn't wait for us to ask him. Even in the Gospels, Jesus very rarely waits for someone to ask him to do something for him. But rather, if he does, it's only because he knows that it will be good for them to ask. So where's Jesus today? What is he doing? He's going first. He's the firstborn of a new creation. He is above, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he invites you and me to be with him. He invites us to share in his glory, brothers and sisters. In the gospel, we hear that the angel said that he's going to go before him, or he's going to go before his disciples to Galilee. What does Galilee represent? What does it mean? Well, certainly it's the physical place where Jesus did much of his ministry with his disciples. It's the place where they spent a lot of time together, but it's also the place where he encountered them first. In the Gospel of John, it says, "You did not choose me. I chose you to go and bear fruit that will last." And Jesus goes first again. He returns to a place that they know well and draws his disciples to come to him in order to see that everything is different because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For in rising from the dead, Jesus changes the world. He is the beginning of a new creation. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's the invitation. Friends, what keeps us from doing that? What keeps us from following Jesus without reserve? I think it's shame and struggle and suffering and pain and the challenges of our life. And especially, I think it's the belief that our sins keep us from being able to follow Jesus. I want you to imagine with me Peter leaving the tomb that morning, knowing that he's supposed to go find Jesus in Galilee. His mind must have been filled with questions. If you know the story of Peter at this time, he's a broken, humbled man because he professed his love for Jesus on the night before he died, but then he was a coward. He ran away. He's a broken man. Yet Jesus still calls him. He still calls him to come after him again, just as he did in the beginning. And to St. Peter's credit, he trusted Jesus enough to follow him back to the places so familiar, even to those places of sin. Peter was looking for Jesus, the crucified one who is now risen. And upon returning to Galilee, he encounters him who forgives all. Jesus calls Peter out of the tomb of his own shame and death and sin, and he reconciles him to himself. And as he did for Peter and Mary and the others, so also he does for you. He calls you out of the tomb of death, the death which comes from sin, And he calls you into the glorious light of his resurrection. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean for me and for you, friends? What is the great point of this great feast? That one day too, we too, united with Jesus, despite all our brokenness, may rise with him in glory. The question today is, do you trust Jesus that much? Will you allow him to lead you to glory? In our brokenness, in our pain, our temptation is so often to say, I am broken, and to throw away the pieces, and to give up the hope of being what we know we ought to be because we have new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus rises from the dead to raise our hope of glory. No matter where you are right now, whether you are young or old, whether you are far from Jesus or very close to him, whether you are caught up in sin, addicted, broken, and ashamed, whether you've been in this church many times or have never been here before, Jesus calls you to glory, friends. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior already, and you feel that tug in your heart right now to make him the Lord of your life, I invite you to pray with me today that Jesus would come into your heart, even in the place of most brokenness and most shame, and help you to seek what is above. And if you know him already, I invite you to pray also that your relationship with him might be deepened, that you might seek the things which are above, for your life is hidden with Christ. So let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your death for my sins. Thank you for your resurrection, which gives me hope of glory. I invite you into my heart, and I ask that you never let me be astray from you again. Jesus, I am sorry for my sins, and I never wish to sin again. Help me to look up where you are seated at the right hand of the Father, recognizing that you desire only that which is good for me. Take me to your Father and give me your Holy Spirit that I may live in this new life. Amen.